This is interview 7 for the American Indian Research Center at the College of William and Mary. This is our podcast series. We're very pleased and proud to have with us today Mark Thunderwolf of Oglala Heritage from Helena, Montana, who's come to be with us on the college campus today to play a concert for the Muscarella Museum of Art in conjunction with Joan Quick to See Smith. With us today, we have Beric Dorr, Passamaquoddy, who's working the soundboard for us. We have Professor Moretti Langholtz from the Department of Anthropology.
Good afternoon.
And I am Buck Woodard, also from the Department of Anthropology in the PhD program. Mark, welcome.
Washte. And Peter Washte. It's my honor to be here.
Washte alo.
I'm very happy to have you here today. And I know that you came to our class on the Sundance people, Indians of the Great Plains, today to speak to our students. And I'd like you to, if you would, speak with our listening audience a little bit and address some of the things that you shared with us in class today. You talked with us about your coming to the flute and how that happened. So if you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about the flute in Lakota culture, and how did you come to be a flute player?
The flute in the Lakota culture, as in many of the Plains cultures, was originally was called a love flute. And many times young warriors were very bashful and in doing the things that the way the cultures were set up, the men had their jobs and roles to do, the women had their jobs and roles to do, and the young men were not really allowed to necessarily integrate and take away time from the young women's chores. And being bashful, and combined with that, they would have to try to find ways to attract the woman or the young girl that they were attracted to and smitten with. And they would stand behind a tree or cottonwood or something like that when the girls would be going down to get water at the creek or something. And if they had a flute, if a young man had elk medicine, which is Lakota love medicine, or Romeo and Juliet, whatever you want to call it, and they could play the flute, or they could learn to play the flute, then it's almost like being irresistible to a woman. And he would have a certain song, a young man would have a certain song that he would play for his secret sweetheart. And he would stand behind a tree and act like he didn't see her, you know, being very coy and shy. And then he'd play something. And if he'd see her smile or could make her laugh through his playing or acting stupid or acting like he tripped or fell down or something, and if he made her giggle and smile, then he knew that he was getting into her heart. And then he would go and play these songs at night outside of her lodge in hopes that he could win her heart. And if so, then he would present the father with gifts to ask if he could court his daughter. And if the father accepted the gifts, then in some of the cultures, the girls would make what they called a love tea or a courtship tea. And they would sit by the fire, and under supervision of their elders, they would drink this tea together. And he would play this one song, but he would only play that for her. And there are many, many different legends of how the flute came to the Lakota, or to the Cheyenne, or to the Navajo. And every culture has their own story about how this came to be. To us, the flute comes from the trees, the one-leggeds. But to be able to play flute, you have to become one with the trees, the one-leggeds. And I asked my elder, Harry Charcher. I told him, I says, you know, Harry, when I get a flute, I say thank you. And he said, no, first, you apologize to that tree. And I said, I apologize? Yeah, you apologize to that tree for taking that flute for your own fashion, for your own use. You apologize to that tree and to his whole family. And it is through teachings like this that I have learned that there is more to just the quote that people misuse, mitakuye oyasin. We are all related. There is more to that than just words. We are all part of the circle of life. And the flutes that come from the trees that connect us, they connect us to Unchimakan, Grandmother Earth, and they connect us to Tunkashla, Grandfather, and to the star people, and to the ancestors that have gone before us. So, for me, to be given the gift and the responsibility of being a flute carrier as well as a flute player is a big responsibility that I take quite seriously.
This might be a good time for you to, if you would, share a song with us of your creation.
Certainly.
An elder once told me that Native American flute, when played the right way, could change people's hearts, or could change a person's heart. And I have to tell you, I think your music is that powerful that it could change people's hearts.
Okay, Mark. Might you give us another song, maybe one that you've had on one of your previous albums, maybe foregrounded a little bit by telling us a little bit about this next song.
The heron teaches us to hunt alone. The heron spends most of the year by itself, and it only comes together with other herons during mating season, and then they're off on their own way. So what the heron teaches us is not that you live alone all your life, or that you're going to be a bachelor or a spinster or this or that, but that you don't need a lot of people to find your path. What it means is that you can find your way through life kind of meandering, being here, being there, mentally and spiritually, and not needing a lot of crutches. It's standing out and being an individual, not being part of a sheep herd. So this next song is called Hunt of the Heron.
Mark, if our listeners are interested in finding more out about you and your programs that you work with, whether they be, you know, out in Montana with youth programs, whether they be with the Wolf hostels that you were talking about earlier, or if they want to access what your program venue might be for playing out different locations, or to get access to your CDs, both the ones that you have already made and those that are coming up, to be be released, what's the best way to get in contact with you, or the best way for our listeners to find out more information about you?
Well, I have two websites. I've got my original website, which is markthunderwolf.com. MySpace.com/MarkThunderwolf, all one word. Or you can buy my CDs through there. Or CDBaby.com. You can also get them through Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. There's several different places that sell them online through one of my distributors. And you can also go through iTunes. I've got my first two CDs up there now. And there's a couple of other downloading things. I think I even saw my songs, some of my songs for sale on Walmart's downloading thing. So I guess I've arrived if I'm at Walmart.
How about if people want to get in contact with you? Is there contact information at those locations via phone or email?
Yeah, there is. They can, you know, if they're on MySpace, they can email me through MySpace. If they go through markthunderwolf.com, there's an email webmaster@markthunderwolf.com, and I get all those emails as well.